3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I am your host. Get a load of my attire today. We've had an unusually cool summer, which I love, and today was the first really steamy hot day, so I just couldn't come in with the big shirt and the big pants. Anyway, local White Plains heroes. Sam.
I'm Sam Stoff.
Brian Gatchell.
And your band is called?
Our band is called Aerial Wolf Hunting.
Does that mean you get in the plane and shoot wolves? Or?
Not actually.
We
don't personally do it.
You have people who handle that.
We have people who handle that kind of thing, yeah. And
or is it a video game?
It's kind of a fall guy. You know, we make money off it, but they, yeah. No.
Now, also, you guys have a local recording studio called?
Well, our recording company is called Port City Recording, and we work out of Mercy College, and well, the studio's down there. We also have a home studio at our apartment in White Plains, and a studio in our at our house in Connecticut.
Now, this is very close to my heart. I'm not sure which side that is. It's probably up there. Oh, touch the mic. Okay. But I used to be a professor at the White Plains campus of Mercy College.
How do you know that?
Taught math and computers. But I met Paul Steinberg.
Steinman. Yep.
Very nice guy. He runs the music program there.
Yes. Yep.
He was the guitarist for Lionel Richie.
Okay. He's played with a lot of different acts over the years. But I know he did Sheila E. too.
But the thing is, every successful musician, as he grows older, wants to come off the road because the road kills. So I'm sure he's very, very happy at his nice 9 to 5 or whatever.
Yeah, he's great. He teaches music theory and he runs the program. He's my direct boss. I work for him at the studio, and it's so much fun. It's barely a job.
Money wise or just because it's fun?
Money wise is great, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. There's never a dull day.
So, if I remember correctly, I mean, students will put together bands and they'll come and record in the studio.
Right.
So they're always looking for bands, basically, because they're always looking to train audio engineers.
Correct, yep.
Now, how much demand is there for audio engineers in this current market?
None. There's a lot less. There's a lot of people wanting to do it. So you have to work a lot. Long hours. Brian's working an internship right now in the city.
Yeah, I'm working 12 hours a day for free, an internship for lunch.
Which studio?
Downtown Music. It's a label and a studio. The studio is called just the Downtown Music Studio. It's in Soho.
So you gotta work a lot.
Where is it in Soho?
It's on Broadway.
Okay. I used to live in Sorcerer Sound in Soho on Mercer Street. That's where
I was Nora... right near Mercer Street. It's on like Broadway and Broome.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I remember at one point I wanted to become an audio engineer, but I mean, this was back in the day in the 70s when they had real recording studios. And there was Media Sound, there was Electric Lady, there was all these studios, which are all gone now because you don't need that equipment in the digital world.
Right, yeah, you don't.
But still, there's colleges that offer this training.
Right. You know, I think the beauty of everyone doing it is there's so many people doing music. Everybody does music, and in some form, you know, if they rap, if they make music on the computer. So there's always, and once they get past doing it themselves, they realize that there is a reason for these studios, and it sounds a lot better, the quality of these studios, and then they go to them, and then it makes more sense.
Well, I think the weird thing for me is normally I don't listen to music too loud, but if you take a well-produced classic rock album, even let's say a Motley Crue album, you will hear 50 separate guitar parts in there.
Absolutely.
I mean, they deliberately layer music so that you don't get bored after hearing it once.
Yeah, right. You can tell them about my guitar tracks.
Yes, this guy, I've engineered for him on his solo project. It's called West Meets West, and this guy, man, the guitar tracks, there's so many layers of guitars on every CD.
Well, I noticed, I don't know if we can get a camera shot of these gearboxes down here, but you got a lot of pedals.
I do. It hides my guitar playing. It enables me to sound cooler. I just love delay, honestly. It's a really cool effect, and we utilize it a lot in our songs, and so I hope it's not too overbearing, but I like them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I thought The Who was the first rock band that made it that didn't really have a lead guitar, but I was wrong. It's just I heard an interview with Pete Townsend. He's a great lead guitar player. But he said because I had such a busy drummer and a busy bass player, I was the one who played chords to hold it together.
Right. Yeah.
And later on, when they switched, as personnel died off, and they switched people, his guitar playing takes a more aggressive role than you two. I mean, that guy, Ed, barely ever takes a solo.
Yeah, I think it's a sign of a really good guitar player that when you know to lean back, you know, you don't have to be in the front all the whole time soloing. Maybe I don't do that, but I think
it's not a good musician at all, just knowing to lay out or play back, play a few notes.
So let's talk about Ariel Wolf Hunting.
Well, Brian and I had a band called West Meets West, which is we're still doing, but we only do recordings of that because it's very electronic based. It's hard to reproduce live. So we were doing that. We needed a drummer and a guitar player to do live stuff. Jared and Mike showed up, both students of Mercy College, and we were jamming. It was great. We had one problem. We didn't have any vocals. We didn't have any good. We had the songs. We didn't have any great vocalist. So Dave, the singer, came in, and he was in a couple different bands that were. He also went to the Mercy College too. So we've all gone there, all in the music program, at different times. And we called Dave up, said we really want you to sing. Dave and I were really good friends beforehand. We always wanted to do something music wise, and we never got to it. So it was the right time and the place for everybody.
So who writes the music and the lyrics?
The lyrics are all Dave. We let him do whatever he wants with
that. All the vocal lines he takes care of.
Do you have any idea what he's singing about?
No. He'll run stuff by us a little bit. But for the most part, we just say, do what you want to do. He's sang on many different bands. He knows what he's doing. So it's nice.
Right, but I mean, is his subject matter like ritual animal slaughter?
It is
or
not. Not that I know it. You know,
I mean,
maybe if you play it backwards.
Love, or I mean, what are his
You know, we haven't got there yet. I wish I knew.
Most of the songs we played today, we wrote them, and then we didn't have a singer, so he kind of came in and put it on top of that. So I think we had been focused more on the music, and then he's still kind of a new addition, so we're still getting used to him.
We got 30 seconds left.
Okay.
You said you're gigging in August. Name some gigs.
August 14th, we're going to be at Mr. D's in Yonkers. Brian and I are playing with a teacher's band called City Rhythm at the Hard Rock Cafe in Boston, and that'll be a lot of fun too. And more shows to come too, but those are the only two I can think of right now.
Okay, awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
So much.
Thank
for
you.
Taking part in part one. And after a break, we'll be back for part two.
All right.
Alright, we're out.
We're out. So he's going to reset the clock, so you can look at the clock going back.
Oh my god, this one, like, it's not showing numbers. It's showing
No, it just stopped.
I mean, like.
So you're going to give me a countdown?
Yeah, sure.
Give me 15. Well, actually, you can give me 10. I don't care.
Go. And 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3,
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host, and yes, it's summer. Too bad. Actually, everybody's been complaining, and I'm going, what the heck are you complaining about? But today it was summer for the first time.
It was very hot today.
So my special guests are the Ariel Wolf Hunting Band.
That's us.
And as I said before, I just picture you guys in a copter just taking out walls. Like, yo. But that's not it at all.
Like, we should have behind us, like, wolf heads or something. But no, we don't.
Where did the name come from?
I believe Jared, the other guitarist, came up with it. And without getting too political, I think it had something to do with the recent political presidential election, with something going on in Alaska, maybe. Without, you know, being too biased. That's all.
Okay.
I guess we'll get into.
All right. So, once again, to recap, you guys, Sam
Stoff,
Brian Gatchel,
and you're in Area Wolf Hunting. You also work as a staff audio engineer at Mercy College in White Plains.
I work as a facility technician, and it means I take care of the studio. And I having that position, I get to use the studio whenever I want.
Facility technician sounds like janitors.
It does, but it's not that at all.
Okay.
I maintain the equipment, make sure it's all working, and
so you're not an engineer there.
They don't have staff engineers there. It's not a public studio. We get to bring in people to record there.
And you train the engineers who are students.
I don't train them, but if they have any issues, I can fix them. There's teachers that teach them. It's kind of an odd position. But we're both audio engineers, and we came out of the school, and we have sessions there. We've recorded Bernie Williams, the New York Yankees.
Who did you... you did Bernie Williams.
Yep. We did two songs with him. I believe it was for his church, and they came out great. Really, really great guy, really great guitarist.
I saw him with Gil Paris. He did a DVD and with Gil Paris, local...
We've also worked with Steve Margoshes, who is an arranger for Broadway, and he's been doing a couple of albums with us. All the local musicians, Connecticut, New York. Our band right now is recording with us, so that gets difficult to be the guitarist, engineer, producer on the same album. But
so you guys putting together an album, Area Wolf Hunting?
Yep, we're in the middle of recording right now. We're about half done with the drums. We're really taking our time experimenting, because we have the luxury of not having to go pay for studio time. So we do it ourselves.
It's nice when you're recording your own band too, because you can, you know, take time to experiment. You're not on the clock like Russian people aren't paying anything, so we can, you know, move mics around and see what sounds best, see where the air moves the best.
Now, so do you use it like from midnight to 4 a.m. or something like that, or?
We use it when the school's open, so the hours change. So whenever we can get in there when I'm not working is when we get in.
Cool. And you're both Mercy College graduates?
Correct. Yes.
Yep.
Well, it's nice to see Mercy College employing its own.
It is very nice. Yeah, I love it. It's been really good. They've been really good to me. And the music program is top notch. So if you want to check it out, just type in music.
That's what
Mercy
I say.
College.
The world needs more trained musicians.
Because
there's... So, has the economy affected you guys in any way? Like, are there less clubs for you to play, or more clubs, or...?
I think people are definitely a little more hesitant to put on shows for free, meaning they don't want the band... we like playing shows where you don't have to pay tickets. We don't have to sell 50 tickets. That's a pain. A guy books us, he has no idea how many people we're going to bring, you know.
Well, it's a business. He's looking to
make a
profit.
So I'm not blaming them, but I think there's a lot less of those shows. I think there's a quote somewhere that in times of economic downfall, entertainment and colleges both profit from that a little bit, because people want to go back to school and people want to spend what little money they have on entertainment. That's what I've heard people say. I don't know if that's true or not.
I'd say as far as my business, I really haven't noticed a downturn, though, since the economy sort of went down.
Now, the clubs you guys are playing in, you mentioned some August dates.
Yeah, Mr. D's in Yonkers.
Is that an all-ages show, or...?
I believe it is. Profound Productions is putting on the show, and they do all ages, but they also do some 18, 21-plus. We play in Connecticut a lot.
Where?
The Space in Hamden, a great club, my favorite spot to play. The Arlooms Art Theater in Danbury, the Webster in Hartford. I'm from Connecticut, so I've played in the local scenes there. I have a band called A Paper Tugboat. It's a folk rock band out of there, and so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I played in copy bands, and I used to do a lot of stuff in the Stanford and...
Okay.
Darien, and Fairfield area. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the clubs I played at are gone.
Yeah.
There's new clubs, but...
Yeah, there's a couple shutting down that I didn't want to mention because they're shutting down.
Right.
But it's a shame, but...
Well, running a club is a business, and most people who get into the business don't know what they're doing and lose a lot of money real fast.
Yep.
But on the other hand, there's a new club that opened up around a year ago called 12 Grapes in Peekskill. Mm-hmm. That knows what they're doing and are doing very well. So, you know, for me, I had a rude awakening. I played a gig last winter. I don't remember. I've been doing it so long.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, we started at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, there was a flash blizzard. I'm looking out the window. I'm at this place. I don't want to mention the name. I mean, it's a great place. And I want to play them more. But I'm looking out the window, and it's a blizzard. So I go, holy cow. I mean, this guy's... the drummer tonight is a New York City cop, mm-hmm. and he's got, like, all the officers that he works with down there. We brought, like, 10 people, which I thought was, for me, awesome. But at the end of the night, the guy rings up the cash register, and he says to me, you know what? You did $1,200. I'm looking for a $2,000 band.
Right.
So to me, not a word about the music.
Yeah.
Not a word about it was a blizzard. Not a word that we actually brought people. Not a word that we sounded good.
Right.
But that is on my tombstone.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see that.
I think a lot of small clubs they have a lot of trouble, you know, staying afloat, so that's all they're looking at is their bottom line month to month. They don't really care about the music. They just want to bring in the people. And, you know, there's a few guys out there who I'm sure are really into the music.
I think initially,
really doing it.
Initially but, it's always about the music. If you're opening the music club.
You're right.
But unfortunately, like, our recording company, we worked so many times for free, totally. Like, album after album for free, just because we want to get our foot in the door, get more albums, get more work. We're getting to the point now, we've done so much work, where we don't want to do it for free anymore. So I understand, they want to do it, they want to be successful, but at a certain point in time, you have to get paid for what you do. You have to make some money. And
Or you have to leave the business.
Right, yeah, yeah.
No, I don't mean that in a mean way,
right.
But there was a really interesting article in Rolling Stone about a year or two ago, because the... record business has been drastically restructured and reduced, and they interviewed like 10-15 people who worked all their lives in the music business, and now one's a nurse, one's an emergency technician. I mean, the careers in the business are gone. I mean, to me, it's a weird thing when you can, you know, record something on your Mac, put it on MySpace, and sell, you know, 15,000 copies. In a way, you might be making more money doing that.
I know people who have done that and been very successful. It's crazy how labels don't want to groom any bands anymore. You know, you have to be done. The record has to be done and ready to be put out. You know, and
but the good thing is that now when you sign a deal, you own the master most of the time.
Hopefully, yeah. The only thing keeping the labels so valuable, the big labels, is the distribution. If you know, we can record ourselves, we can put it up on MySpace, we can put it up on iTunes, you know, we have records up on iTunes, but getting the distribution, getting it in stores, getting it in Target, that's the hard part. That's what everyone's looking
and
for.
And also just the advertising everywhere, you know. We're not going to have commercials on TV. You know, the CDs might be phasing out, but the labels will never stop being able to advertise and put posters everywhere. And obviously we can't do that.
I'm just trying to think of where I see advertising.
There's a lot in the city.
There's a lot.
Like when I'm going to a show at the Bowery or something, there's always posters for bands outside. And more, you know, they pay for the MySpace. They pay for the banners and stuff.
Yeah, but at the end, it comes. At the end, it's basically the record business used to be this. We're a bank.
Yeah.
We're going to front you money to make a product that we're going to own.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay us back that plus 15%.
Right.
Every toot of coke you do, every limo you take, gets charged to you.
Yeah.
So that was a really weird business model.
Yeah.
And it's not really flying. I mean, that's why you have bands. And then people would get signed to a management company who then gets signed to a label. Mm-hmm. So now you've got two people taking chunks out of... I'm trying to think of who was the female group that did Waterfall.
So TLC? Destiny Child?
Yeah, TLC.
What was it?
It was TLC.
Okay.
And they filed for bankruptcy, and that was because they signed with Pebbles, who was their management company, who then signed with her boyfriend's record company, and at the end, the band had no money, even though they had platinum out.
I think there's been too many stories like that, but... Yeah.
Perhaps in this new kind of climate, that's actually one good thing that might come out of it, is hopefully those deals won't be around as much. I'm sure they'll always exist to some extent.
So what are your goals? I mean, your goal is to make money and support yourself in the music business? Is that the goal?
I think our goal is to, make money off doing recording, doing live sound, doing anything that needs to be done with sound-wise. We don't look at playing music for money. We don't look at playing our music for money because we don't think it's realistic. If it happens, great. If we come out even, we're very happy.
Well, some people make money by basically, a friend of mine's in a band called like Tramps Like Us, and they play all over the country. They're a Bruce Springsteen tribute band, but everywhere they play, their backline gear is provided.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one way to make money, just basically owning the equipment and renting it out.
Yeah, that too, yeah. I mean, if you get creative, there's a lot of different ways, a lot of different jobs. A lot of people use audio in different ways. It might not be the glamorous big studio working behind the mixer. There's a lot of places that do use audio, you know, commercials, movies,
TV studios.
Do you guys DJ at all?
We don't DJ. I've actually been thinking about getting into it just because I know a few people that are making some good money doing it. As far as, I'd say DJing is kind of lower on my list of actual goals to have, but I don't know. The more I look into it, the more fun it sounds like. So I really enjoy playing live. And, you know, doing the engineering stuff is probably my favorite, but I've been looking into doing DJing a little bit.
So we did this show a little differently today. Normally we just run a show, 25 straight minutes. Mm-hmm. I talk, you play, we talk, go pee, start the thing again. Okay, that's how we usually do it. Tonight we did, you gave a concert. You did five songs.
That would be our set of the show, yeah.
You did five songs. Now, my question to you is, how would you just, if you had to label your music, how would you label it? And you got 37 seconds.
It's a terrible question for a musician. Rock and roll. Maybe a little bit experimental, but it's rock.
I thought it was a little progressive rock.
Okay, yeah, okay. I guess that would be the word.
With a grunge aspect.
I think that works. That works.
So you like that. Progressive grunge rock.
I like
that. Well, guys, it was a pleasure having you down.
Thank you for having us.
The music business is a struggle. It's always been, always will be.
It's always
be.
Interesting and fun, though.
It is.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for coming down and sharing your great music with us, and best of luck.
All right. Thank you very much. Same to you.
And we're out.
Good. Thank you.